You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You have to set boundaries. You have to tell the devil, all right, devil, you won the day. All right, today you got me. I was a little overwhelmed, but I'm going to sleep now. I know it's only 7:30, but I'm going to sleep now. That's right. I'm going to bed early because I'm not giving you any more hours to mess with me. I'm going to bed now. But when I get up tomorrow morning, you had best not be here. Because what you don't know is in your night season, Holy Spirit starts energizing you. That's why you wake up strong. These spirits rule the world, the physical world. But you and I walk in the spirit. We are not subjected to the devil's power. He's subjected to us. Sometimes he will manifest himself in ways of denying answers to you. God only lets that happen to people who are strong, because he promises no more than we can bear. So if you're in the midst of a denial, or it seems like you're being denied, it's because God knows you're strong enough to hang in there. There are people that I interact with that ask me questions, and I don't answer them. I ignore them. Now, that's my way. My way is to ignore you. I'm a complicated man. Chef. No one understands me but my Jesus. Eric Shaft. You know that riff? Bro-doom, bro-doom. Hey, John, you know that riff? Bro-doom, bro-doom, the Shaft? Okay, that's called You Save. You say he only know gospel, so he saved. I got to get me a heathen organist. But see, there are people that I will ignore. I won't call them back. I won't answer their texts. I won't bother them. Okay? Now, their response to that will tell me how mature they are. If they lose it, oh my God, he didn't call me back. Oh my God, I said hello and he walked right by me. I know next time I got to call you back or respond because you can't handle it. Now, my daughter, she can talk to me and I just walk right out the room. You know what she does? Walks right out behind me. Dad, I'm talking to you. See, she don't get upset because she knows that's my way. Do you understand? The more you grow in God, he ignores you sometimes. Bible supports that. Jesus walking down the road. Here comes a woman. My daughter is homesick. Jesus just looked at her. Now, the text suggests that she only asks once. But the text also suggests that she kept asking, because Peter said, send her away, she's crying after us, which meant she kept saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, and Jesus just kept ignoring her. How would you feel if you came down for prayer and I just walked right by you? Your faith would die. You'd be like, oh, excuse me, hold on, no, I'm all right, I'm all right, deacon, no, I'm fine, excuse me. I came all the way down here from Easton. I drove all the way down here, and you can't put your hand on me? Oh, I ain't coming back to that church. I'm going to send somebody. I ain't come down here for Jackie and Cynthia to touch me. I don't know them. They don't have no television broadcasts. And turn around and walk out. And you'll walk out sick. That woman hung in there. Jesus and Bush, he keep talking. He turns around and said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Man, I wish he had just not said anything, because now you told me you came with power, but it was only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, if that's true, what you doing up here? This ain't Israel's boundary. See, I think she was a pragmatist. She started rationalizing. Well, wait a minute. If you only sent the lost sheep of Israel, then what you doing up here? Because I'm sure not going down to Israel because I'm dark-skinned. And plus, I'm in a heathen land. They're not going to welcome me. What you doing up here? I'm up here with healing for anybody who has the faith to push through limitations. And that is determined by how you respond to God not answering you. Only the mature can handle not being answered. Babies get upset. I'm leaving the church. Pastor Lambert didn't speak to me. He was sitting down there. He always sitting down there. But he got a line of people. And I guess you got to be special to come shake his hand. Then the adjutants tell you you got to leave. Who he think he is? Then when Jesus finally acknowledges her ever-increasing faith, he says the last test is to see if you're listening with your inner ear. He said it's not proper to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now, when you read that in the English, it just says dog. But when you hear him say it to her, he says canarian and not kuan. When he said canarian, she heard puppy, not wild dog who roams the street. So she comes back with logic. She says, yeah, you're right, but puppies get what fall from the table. Jesus said, woman, you got great faith because you heard what I did not say. A no in God doesn't mean you never will. It just means not now. See, the warfare comes when the devil holds back your answer and you don't know that God is letting it happen. You've become convinced. Hence, it is what it is. Several years ago, the Lord said, tell my people that they need to get over things. I let it happen. I healed you. I brought you this far. Stop letting it affect you. We make excuses. Well, the reason why I don't like you is because you remind me of my uncle. Or you remind me of my father. Or you remind me of my mother, etc., etc. Now, from a clinical perspective, it's allowable. But you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're new creatures. I'm not suggesting that you won't be impacted, but turn it into something good. Do you know what meatloaf is? Do you know what meatloaf is? What's meatloaf? Meatloaf is beef without a purpose. You don't know what else to cook, so you make meatloaf. You don't have no purpose. Just there you go. Throw some green pepper and onions and some Worcestershire sauce and ground it all together, stick it in the pan, put it in there. Why? It don't take no effort. Everybody likes it, but it's just get some mashed potatoes and green peas and put it in there and some gravy and yeah, service is over. But if you get a T-bone steak, it requires a different level of preparation. See, you don't have to leave meatloaf and marinate anything. But that steak, you let marinate. You get some Worcestershire. We can't say Worcestershire. And get some A1. You put it all on there. You let it sit. You stick it in the oven, and it talks back to you. Meatloaf don't talk back to you. It just lays there like a Christian with an attitude. Steaks talk back. Now, they both come from cows, but one, you throw mashed potatoes and green peas with it. The other, you bake that potato. You put asparagus with it, or you put broccoli with it, because the nature of the steak is that it needs something better on the side. How many of you are steak Christians, and how many of you are meatloaf Christians?
Because if you're a state Christian, you ought to be talking back to God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Glory to God. If you're a meatloaf Christian, you just lay there. I know whatever happened. No. We're in battle. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 14, it says, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand that the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. He said, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make you understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for many days. Verse 20. Then he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to the fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone, the prince of Greece will come. The angel makes it very clear that there are principalities over governments. You know as well as I do that it wasn't a literal prince of Persia because they couldn't fight an angel. So apparently the Persian government was supported by a satanic power. So in other words, there are people in your life who are supported by principalities. You're fighting the person instead of the principality. Now, how does he get in? It is said that mice can get in through a hole that is a half inch in diameter because the structure of their skeletal system is such that it is extremely pliable. They don't need a real large hole to enter into your home. It can just be a half inch in diameter, and they will squeeze their cute selves right into your house. Demons don't even need a quarter inch. Sometimes we let them in the front door. 2 weeks ago, I began to talk about the most prominent two spirits that enter the church and set us up for destruction and warfare. One is the Jezebel spirit, which has often been misunderstood as a spirit of lust. The Jezebel spirit is not a spirit of lust. It is a spirit of control that comes after the house vision and the pastoral leadership. It wraps itself up in ministerial functions whose sole purpose is to bring down the vision of the house by entrapping the people and bringing them away from the vision. The Jezebel spirit often presents itself in ways that are distinct from the vision of the house, and they love to embody weak people. The Jezebel spirit goes around and it looks for people that they can seduce. It is a very manipulable spirit. They often look for people who are fearful, people who have experienced hurt in their past and they feel victimized. Jezebel spirits often look for people, and under the guise of mentoring, they are controlling, pulling you away from the vision while they build their own vision. The Jezebel spirit can come into a meeting or a service and try to direct everybody. They cannot just sit down and let things happen, even if they are wrong, and correct them without showing that I'm in charge. Jezebel's spirit loves to say, I am in charge. It is a spirit that is often relegated to females. Because the name Jezebel means unhusband. It means you have no one as your head. And so if she is single, she has no one as her head. If she is married, she rebels against her head. The church is the place where this spirit matures because most people don't know the difference between God and the Jezebel spirit. We will give the Jezebel spirit unlimited access simply because they act spiritual. They often separate themselves from the vision of the house. They often dress inappropriately. They often do whatever they can do to draw attention to themselves. The Jezebel spirit often precedes any phrase with "the Lord told me," because two-thirds of the congregation don't know what the Lord is really saying. They often accuse people of false things. They often like to bring people down by determining that they are guilty of something that they've not even thought about. They love to give the leader what the leader wants to solidify their position so that they may run over the rest of the people, like Jezebel gave Ahab Naboth's vineyard to solidify her position so that she could stay in a position of authority. There are times when that spirit will move into sexual mess-ups, like it did over in Thyatira, when God says, "You have a woman there named Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess, but she's sleeping through the congregation." What is she doing? She is making sure that everyone is connected to her on a soulish level. Now, while that particular action may not happen all the time, you will find that Jezebel's possessors often want to lay hands on you. They often want to pull you off to the side and without any regulation begin to tell you what the Lord is saying, without having you check it with your leader, without having you check it with anyone else. It's like you're just supposed to believe that what they say is right. But 1 John says that you and I as believers are supposed to try every spirit, because there are many false spirits that have gone out into the world. And the most susceptible office for the Jezebel spirit is the prophetic. That is the most susceptible. There just seems to be a rise of people who want to tell other people what God is saying. Now, if they leave you confused, it's not God. So the Jezebel spirit comes into the church. They often look for people who have been wounded so they may mentor them in their own likeness. They operate with insecurity, which means nobody else should do what I do or say what I say, because I'm the one that was sent to you. They love to play the victim. They are never wrong. Everybody else is against them. Wherever I go, "I saw how you were looking at me. I know you're looking at me." Then you turn and laugh. You're laughing at me. The battle is raging because the Jezebel spirit has become prominent in the church. It's destructive. There is absolutely nothing positive about it. It pulls people down and destroys lives. And yet, we endorse it simply because we're afraid to confront it. We find ourselves incapable of standing up to it because we're afraid that the person that we are speaking to may rebuke us publicly. They always come against the vision of the house. "Yeah, Pastor Lambert said we're going to build our church without a mortgage." "Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Y'all just keep giving. Keep going ahead and giving. I'm telling you right now, it ain't never going to happen." And they rejoice when it appears that it's not going to happen, looking for susceptible believers. This is why I tell you, learn to think for yourself. Don't let somebody tell you when to praise God and when to sit here. And we don't clap. We don't clap. Look, get up and sit somewhere else. This is a house of freedom. Come in church and now you got people telling you you can't. They like to put people or pit people against other people. "Oh, I don't like the way one person plays. I like the way so-and-so plays." What do you think? Jezebel's spirit, like the mouse, doesn't need much. It looks for broken people, and the church is filled with broken people. But don't become a victim just because you've become victimized. It's time now to rise above it and take your lawful place as a child of God. We're going to have differences. There are some great men and women of God that I fellowship with where we have differences in doctrine, but they don't know it. I used to work with a gentleman who was one of those classic Baptists who didn't believe any of the extra stuff that we do, like the praising and the tongues and all that other stuff. And he established that early in our time of working together. I didn't care. He still loved Jesus. So we just talked about Jesus. I didn't talk about tongues. I didn't talk about anything. But it was so funny. One day he was diagnosed with leukemia. And he was telling me about it. I said, oh, my God, John. I said, what are you going to do? You know what he said? I'm going to pray for God to heal me. And God healed him. Even though he didn't believe in healing. But he soon changed. See, you got to let God fight for his Bible. You don't have to fight everybody. I run into people, there is no God. Okay, I'll take your share. I'm not going to fight with you. I don't believe God still heals. That's fine. I got things that I need him to touch me. So since he's not touching you, I'll take yours. Why should I stand there for 3 hours arguing with somebody? All those tongues, they don't mean anything. Fine, I'll speak in your tongue. Give me an example of what you say. Akin to the Jezebel spirit is the Absalom spirit. The Bible talks about this in 2 Samuel. There are 12 distinctive characteristics of that, and I'm not going to give them all to you. But I will tell you the first thing that they do is they take the heart of the people away from the visionary of the house by promising the people access that the leader will not give them. Oh, if the pastor won't talk to you, come talk to me. Or if the pastor doesn't have time for you, I'll make time for you. Because the goal is that one day I'm going to set up my own work, and all of you that I've secretly helped will come with me. I will promise you a position. Pastor Lambert never lets you preach. He never lets you do anything behind the pulpit. But if you join with me, I promise you that you will be my associate. I promise you that you will have an opportunity to use your gift.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Spiritual Warfare, or the program number, 04119P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at betheldeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Today's culture needs the impact of the Word of God, and those who are called are tasked with handling the Word carefully. If you are one of the called, we invite you to get equipped at the next Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon. You'll learn biblical and practical strategies for crafting sermons that are relevant to the body of Christ today. The Making of a Minister is taking place Saturday, June 15th at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must RSVP to attend. Call 215-885-2585 to register today. That's 215-885-2585, or visit betheldeliverance.org for more information. Ministers, come and learn how to challenge the culture through substantial teaching from the Word of God. We'll see you there.